We are going to, at this time, Mark and Kristen are going to be having an interview with Tiffany Nunez, and which we can all listen in. And at the end of which, I believe Kristen is going to have some special music that she's going to present to the kids. So if we could all get to our seats, that would be great.
Okay, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. We can see you all really well. And it's really special to be connected with you in this way. We're just going to give you a little bit of a greeting. Each one from our family has something. And then Kristen's going to introduce Tiffany Nunez to you. So let's start with Caleb.
At Tech. Hi. Okay, at Tech, they're building a new stage for Awana. And I'm learning the drums, too.
There's a new boy at the children's home.
What's his name?
And his name is Juan Carlos. John Carlos. He was Charlie Brown.
Show them your shirt.
See what shirt he's wearing?
Okay. Rachel?
What do I say?
I was marking the Christmas play. And the VBS was fun. Our costumes were funnest. And I'm doing a really hard dance.
Rachel's talking about a week of retreat that we had with all the missionaries in Kids Alive Peru up in northern Peru. And there was a program for the children, which they called the VBS, which was a very special time. And also, you probably heard two weeks ago when we were on that retreat, we got to spend a couple of days with Jim and Bev Peterson. So it was a really unique time to reflect and a joyful time to think about how many years ago Bev was a part of starting a missions committee at Zion. She was talking about this. And then here we were with them down in the northwest coast of Peru together. So from Millersville to Peru, that was a pretty special connection. And I'll let Kristen come on now.
Still a fascination to be on Skype. Okay. Well, very, very honored to have a special guest staying with us this week, who we've been wanting you to meet for a long, long time, hopefully someday in person. But this is the next best thing. This is Tiffany Nunez.
And hold on one sec. Megan, can you still hear us? Okay.
And she is a medical student studying in Bolivia, but she's from Peru. She's from this area where we live right now, and she came for the week. She's on her school break. To be reconnected with the ministry here and all her friends here and her church here, and to be with us so we can spend time together. And it's just a great honor to have her here. So you want to introduce yourself more?
Okay. Good morning, Zion Church. I'm Tiffany. Hi, Erica and Joanna. Where are you? Okay. Janelle, we miss you here. Well, I'm pretty so excited to be here with Cody's family again after 4 years ago. This is my last year on the medicine school, so I'm so excited about it too. Yeah.
Yeah, so how has been these last few years? What have you been learning?
Yeah, it was hard the first year, you know, because you leave your family and your church and your friends and your ministry and the kids. But it was always God saying, I'm your father. So he was caring me as a father and all the time. And even it was hard the first year for the full schedule that I got in the university. God was giving me patience and good humor about it. So I can say God is faithfulness and he is a father for me. You know, the king of the world is my father. So that was a good time for know God as a father, like nobody else around me, but God was in there.
And I remember Skyping Tiffany many times, and it was very hard. She was very lonely. It was hard to make friends, hard to find a good church. The church was far away, but now she's been there a while and made some really good friends, including one very good friend. Sejama.
Yeah. His name is Ernesto, so we will get married this year in August. Erica, I'm so excited.
And he's from Bolivia, and they met at church.
Right? Yeah.
And has a real heart for God, but you tell him more about Ernesto.
Yeah. Well, we were like a friend 3 years, but we started to work in the worship in our church and with Josias, that is a ministry with cares about kids that works in the city. So he was working with me, and that was the time that we, I don't know the word,
kind of, get to know each other.
Yeah, but this feeling, different feeling. Yeah, so he also already he's working in pequeña empresa.
He's small working business. In a small business.
Yeah, and we also are still working in with the kids and with the worship in our church. Yeah, his family has arrived. Become my family too. So this is another a big blessing for me that God provide. A family for me in Bolivia, so I have another mom
there. Tiffany's mom lives in Lima with her brother, and so they don't get to see each other very much.
Yeah.
So God provide, like she said, God provided another family, and she's also led some Bible studies.
Yeah, in Kauai.
Like a few people, students to study the Bible.
I had a little small group in my department with my roommates and some of my friends and of my university. So we got a little study and of the book Un Vacío Llamado Papá. It's the name of the book. Empty Called Father.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a book that we were studying together. So
Tiffany's just continually ministering while she's in school. It's not that her ministry has ever stopped. She has a lot of classes, a lot of coursework. She told me about the first time she had to work with a cadaver, and we were trying to figure out the word in Spanish, and we were like, oh, cadaver is pretty much the same, just different pronunciation. But
yeah.
And how she's gotten her stethoscope and uniform and been working in the hospitals.
Yeah.
Getting her practice. But you could tell them about your focus, what your specialty has to be.
Okay. So. Well, in my dream, well, maybe 8 years ago, I was dreaming like studying medicine and also serving the Lord. Even I tuviera a
submitted to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my point is that I was dreaming like 8 years ago in this time. That time, it's already happening. But mm-hmm. now my dream is like I want to finish medicine school and then have a specialty.
Mm-hmm.
In gynecology, because I always wanted to help women that didn't have a father or went abused or violence.
Violated.
And you know, in the medicine, but also with the God's word. But also, it's like, I know, no, for everybody, it's a good experience, that newborn.
The first moment of child is born, as all of you at Zion are very closely acquainted with many times a month, it seems. No, many times a year. So.
Yeah, and even, además de, ¿cómo
puedo decir?
It's a good experience for me as a student medicine, like taking the kids for the first time to the earth. It's in my heart, it's like the burn for pray about the kid that I'm getting out. So I don't know if it's going to be a ministry, but I really have to get the bless that I can pray for this newborn, for this new baby. You know, I'm not a mother, but I'm getting out, so it's a special special for me. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
so I just, Tiffany told us that the other day, and I just thought, what an opportunity that she feels called to be an agent for the first moment of birth, to pray for that child, has a potential to totally change that baby's life and the mom's life, who may have been abused and there is no father in the picture, that she'll bring the spirit of her heavenly father to that family. So it's just not just learning the of course, she needs to know all the technical things about being a doctor, but to have that spiritual aspect is just a wonderful thing. And we're just so honored to be able to be an agent to allow her to do it. I can't do it. And you, all of you can't do it, but you are all a part of being her hands and arms and holding her up and providing the resources for her to be able to do this and to touch the world. I mean, she may be in Bolivia. Ernesto's from Bolivia. She really would love to come back here to Pucallpa. And Ernesto is very open to that and very eager to come and see it. He hasn't been here yet. But he and Tiffany just want to serve the Lord together. So I had been praying for years that God would bring a special person for this very special lady, and he has. And just, there's so much answered prayer, and we're just so excited to continue to be a part of her life. And now Ernesto, so we're excited to meet Ernesto. I'm hoping to go to the wedding in Bolivia before we come back to see all of you, but we'll see if that works out.
Anything else you want to say? You are very welcome if you want to visit Josias. That is our ministry with the kids. So whatever you want to come, if you want to come and know the
the kids, you are very welcome. And thank you for your time, for your help, for your prayers. And this is really, really, I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Hostias is the ministry that Tiffany's been serving in Bolivia, a children's ministry, a lot like Kids Alive. And so she's already living as a missionary in Bolivia, even as she's studying. And just to fill in a few more details, she'll have 1 year of internship and then an exam to actually become a general doctor. And then after that, her dream is to further specialize in basically a women's and babies training that would allow her to serve women and babies through delivery and beyond.
And pediatrics.
With that. So all of you who give, and we wanted the children to be up because children, we know that you guys are regularly taking offerings for Victoria's Fund. And so Tiffany's one of the missionaries that is supported through Victoria's Fund, really the only missionary we support through Victoria's Fund in terms of her scholarship and her studies and her service in Bolivia. And then we support other ministries as well, but Tiffany especially represents someone who God has led us to in a particular way. And so thank you, children, for all of your offerings that you bring to Kids Church each week. And just think of all the children that are being helped through Tiffany and then also in Mexico and through different ways here in Bolivia or in Peru and in Bolivia and in Ethiopia. So it's really special to just thank God during this testimony for how he's been working through Victoria's Fund. I'll provide a few more testimonies if the connection holds up and I can share a little bit more in a few minutes. So thank you all. And are you still hearing us okay? Oh, super. And I'm us?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So I think we're going to, Matt, we're not going to do the special music just because that's in a different part of the house where the signal is not strong. And I'm not going to sing instead of that. So we'll go to whatever's next. I think maybe you want to dismiss the children.
Yeah. So children, you are dismissed now. So you can line up here at the door. And at this time, then, if we could have lights, I believe we'll do the offering at this time.
And let us take our offering. Father God, we thank you for this day that you have given us. We thank you for the opportunity to come together in fellowship in your name. This offering, Father God, that we give for all that we have is of thine own, and it is of thine own that we give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, at this time, Mark is going to be bringing us our morning message. So we're looking forward to that a lot. Let's just take a moment and pray. Dear God, I just thank you so much for this morning, and thank you for how we have seen how Victoria's Fund is affecting the world around us. And just thank you so much for how that that giving that we do, the going that we do, is something that has real effect in the world, in places where there's brokenness, in places where there is a need. And we just thank you that the work of your kingdom is many-faceted, that it takes all of us, the hands and the feet, the arms, the elbows, the head, the neck, everything, to spread your word, to spread your kingdom on this earth. And just thank you, God, for each and every one of our roles in that. And just thank you for Tiffany's role. Thank you for Mark and Kristen's role. And thank you for all of our roles in our daily lives and here at Zion and all around the world. And so just pray that you'd be with Mark this morning as he brings this message, and pray that you would be with us in our hearts, that we would be open to hear what you have to tell us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Something with Victoria's Fund as well is just the many opportunities it provides us as missionaries down here to just help as we encounter different needs related to children. So in addition to the ministry through Tiffany, in addition to Ethiopia and Mexico and the ministries we're involved in through the indigenous or native pastors in Peru, we also have just what Kristen and I encounter on a regular basis. And so I'm going to share a little bit of that with Kristen as I go throughout my message and just talk about a culture of honor and what honor is really about. In the kingdom of God, honor looks a lot different than in the kingdom of this world. And part of the honor in the kingdom of God is how God shows favor and rescues the least of these and the broken that can so easily go on unnoticed by the world. And so to be a part of extending Zion's reach in this way is something we're mindful of every single day and throughout the day. It's an incredible blessing and an honor for us to extend the heart that we know you have as our church family. So I also think it's very interesting how when Tiffany was sharing, she started by talking about her relationship with the Father and the closeness that she experienced through relationship with the Father in that formative time of beginning to go through medical school. And I think we've all experienced that if we're going to be a part of what God's leading us to do, it has to come out of that relationship with the Father. We recently had an intern visit with us for the month of January, and she was also here last summer. So this was a return visit, not even a year from when she was with us this past summer. So she came back for the month. She spent most of the month out in the children's home. It ended up being an incredibly timely visit for her because we needed help out there. And all the children in the children's home, even down to the littlest, Annalise, one after another, they all got the chicken pox. And even the one house mom got the chicken pox. So it was a bit of a, and this is their summer vacation in Peru, January and February. So this was a trying summer vacation in terms of their health. But she was able to be a real blessing to them and help them through that time. But there was something about her that really struck me, this intern that was with us. And we were having a conversation one evening in our home, Kristen and Aaliyah was her name, and me. And as Aaliyah was leaving, I said, "Aaliyah, what's that on your foot?" Because I could tell there was some type of writing on the outside of her foot. And she said, "Oh, you didn't know about that." I said, "No." Well, this past summer, our whole study had focused on the Gospel of John and being sent by the Father. And this really gripped her life and her sense of identity as the Father's child and being sent by him. And so I've always said, regardless of whether I would want one or not, let's say I wanted to get a tattoo. My struggle would be, how would I pick a tattoo that I wouldn't get tired of eventually or that I wouldn't want to change? So that's just always been something I've had in my mind and joked about. Well, I think I found a tattoo that, and she beat me to it, that I would have loved to have had. And so what she had on her foot was the Spanish word enviada, which means sent one. And She has it written in her father, her earthly father's handwriting, and it's on her foot. So she's sent by her father through her relationship with the father as a sent one. It's in Spanish because of her desire to serve in missions in the Spanish-speaking world. And it's on her foot because it involves going. So I thought that was pretty cool. But it just speaks to what Tiffany was sharing, that we can share about the progress she's had in medical school, Tiffany. We can tell you stories of God changing lives, and we can tell you about the ministry that's happening here and in the life of all of you at Zion and your places of work and your communities. But at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day, it has to come out of that intimacy with the Father. And I've just been brought back to that time and time again. I just read in a book by Oswald Chambers called Workmen of God. His opening statement is the bottom line is that anything we do in ministry to help other people has got to come out of that relationship we have in being led by the Spirit. So he's saying, Oswald Chambers was saying, we cannot just take a teaching or a Bible verse that we know and apply it to every single person that we might minister. We've got to be led by the Spirit in how we do it. So even though this came together pretty last minute, I just asked Timothy if we could do an interview with Tiffany, and then he texted back that he was really sick, if I had more to share. And then later in the day, he said, I'm definitely down for the count. So if you could share, if the connection holds up, that'd be great. I didn't just reach into my pile of stuff and pull something out. I really am sharing with you something that's the Lord's been waking me up with the last few mornings to think about, that intimacy with the Father, and particularly as we go through the Gospel of John. So I've not been able to get out of the Gospel of John. I still love reading other parts of the Bible, but there's been something that God has really anchored in my heart with the understanding that John had about sentness, about belonging to the Father, and only doing what we see the Father doing, that has continued to grip my life. So I want to share some thoughts along those lines with you and do all of this from a context of honor. We've been learning a lot since living here about an honor-based culture. An honor-based culture is extremely relational. It's much more than a guilt-based culture like North America, where we're more focused on behaviors and right and wrong and standards of behavior, and a lot of times we go to church or come to God because we have some sense of guilt and we want God to help us deal with our guilt, and there's truth to all of that. In this part of the world, the motivation is primarily related to relationship and honor, and also there's strong elements of a fear-based culture. So maintaining your reputation and maintaining your sense of perception in the eyes of others, saving face, is a very important aspect of life in an honor-based culture. And the same was true in Bible times. When Jesus was ministering in that New Testament culture, they were an honor-based culture, also fear-based in a lot of ways. And so what that meant was their name or their reputation or their community was the determining factor in who they were. And so people had a strong desire to be known by a certain name. People were always introduced, and in the same breath, it was said where they came from or who their father was, because their identity was based on relationship and name and reputation. So if we begin in the Gospel of John, I'm going to just share a few verses here from John chapter 1. I think it's very fascinating when Jesus, John chapter 1, verse 43, he purposes to go into Galilee and he finds Philip. He tells Philip, follow me. And it says, now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. So there you have Philip's honor being explained. He's from this city, which was known for its name and one of the tetrarchs in the empire who had built it up. It's also known as a city of the commercial fishing. And Philip comes from that city, also the city of Andrew and Peter. Andrew and Peter, we met in the paragraph before this in John's gospel, where Jesus is met by these guys, and they want to see where Jesus lives, and Jesus says, hey, follow me, come and you will see. Jesus invites them to see. So Jesus goes and he finds Philip. Then Philip finds Nathanael. And Philip says to Nathanael in verse 45, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. Jesus, and he doesn't just say Jesus, he says Jesus of Nazareth. So there's Jesus' community. That's where he's from. The son of Joseph. But there's a problem. Nathanael replies to Philip and he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can you still hear me? Okay. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth did not have a name. Nazareth did not have a reputation. Nazareth was not famous. Nazareth was a no-name town. And this is something we've come face-to-face with in a couple of different ways. Because in no-name towns, people get pushed to the margins. In no-name towns, people are not noticed by the world. They're not seen as important or seen as great. This Christmas, I was talking with some teachers that we have here working at our care center, and I just felt that I've moved closer to Nazareth in the sense of living in a community like San Jose, which is outside of a city like Pucallpa. Now, if you take the highway from Lima, which has been closed in recent weeks because there have been nearly 30 landslides in this rainy season, and the most recent one shut down the highway, wiped it away, and there have been no vegetables and things like that able to get into town for a period of time. I believe it might be fixed at the moment, so we're thankful for that. But if you would bring that main highway, bring that main road, paved most of the way, some part dirt or gravel, and you bring that into the jungle, you're going to stop at Pucallpa, and you can go no further. And so Pucallpa is literally the end of the road. If you're going to go further into the jungle, it's going to be by boat or by small plane. And it's mainly the missionaries or some government officials who will use the small planes to go deeper into the jungle. So we're literally at the end of the road. And then if you come to our community, we're outside of Pucallpa. So we're out beyond where the pavement goes. We're on dirt roads out here in San Jose. And you can go to communities far beyond ours as well. So here's my point. I said to the teachers in one of our staff meetings, could you imagine the future president of Peru coming from San Jose? Or Tiffany's still in here. Tiffany, ¿puedes imaginar esto? It'd be incredible. It wouldn't be possible. In the minds of the community here, that the president of Peru would come from San Jose or even from Pucallpa. It's like saying, can you imagine the president of the United States? And it's a little hard for us to imagine this with some of our towns because we have had presidents come from small towns, but wouldn't that be incredible if the president came from Mountville or from Millersville or from Mount Joy? One of these, or Lititz, a small town in Pennsylvania. We actually do have a president that came from Lancaster with James Buchanan. But coming from San Jose would be an altogether different problem because San Jose is not esteemed highly by the middle or upper class in Peru. When people come from the jungles or they come from the mountains, they're often looked down upon. And so when Philip says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's talking about Jesus, the Messiah, coming from a no-name town whose dad was a no-name carpenter. How's that even possible? Nathanael asks that to Philip, and then Philip says to him, come and see. So it would be possible for us to even wonder, really, the kingdom of God at work and thriving in San Jose? And to that, I believe that we get the invitation, come and see. Let's see how God is at work. Tiffany's one of those testimonies. A couple weeks ago, Kristen actually set it up that Aaliyah, our intern, and one of our teachers that many of you know, Karina, they went out to just visit some, and Aubrey, I don't know if Aubrey's there today. Aubrey was here during that week, but they went out on a visitation here in the community of San Jose, and they came across some things that were very dishonorable. And particularly, they encountered a baby, and this baby was 20 days old and very malnourished. I don't know. Hopefully you can see that picture. Kristen, do you want to say a little more about this?
So his name's Fabiano Alexander, and his mom is probably about 15, and she has epilepsy. So she's on medicine for that, and she's not able to nurse. So he had been in the hospital a few days. He's probably at most 5 pounds there. And the hospital gave them a small can of formula, but formula is as expensive here as it is in the States. And you multiply that times about 100 with the income here, it's just out of reach for anybody in San Jose to buy formula, since this mom can't nurse. So thankfully, I mean, they were at the last scoop of formula when Karina just happened to go visit them as one of the families connected to our programs. And she came back and told us, and I said, well, we got to get some formula. So out of Victoria's fund, things like that happen just day to day because we're here. And so Karina then went to see him. We were away at that retreat we were telling you about, and went to see him 2 weeks later, and he's doing much better. So he's getting a lot bigger. Now, the other problem was he started to get some kind of rash, and without good education, the things people come up with to heal things like that are they were putting rat poison on the baby.
Or termite poison
on the baby. So fortunately, Karina was there and found out they were doing this and said, that is very dangerous. Don't do that anymore. But it's just, well, this is what we have. So this is what we'll use to get rid of something, because it's good to get rid of other things. Well, it can get rid of this rash. So hopefully the rash went away without any more treatment like that. And just continue to pray for him.
And then we also have two other testimonies of honor being brought to young children in this community. This is a little girl named Selene, and through the care center, we've discovered that she has childhood glaucoma and was going to go blind. But through Victoria's Fund and through a connection through Victoria's Fund and not Akipa, we've been able to provide eye drops for her to this point that are preserving her eyesight. And she looks like this all the time. I just saw her the other day during Awansa or homework club, running around, having a lot of fun and smiling and seeing very clearly. So praise the Lord, her vision is being protected because of the Father's leading in her life and because of the provision and the Father's leading in your lives to help support works like this through Victoria's Fund.
And one more story. Marcelino is a teenager in our youth club. And for years, was it since birth that he had the
Del nacimiento?
Has he had it his whole life?
Yeah. Or no, he's had it since. Yeah, he's had a tumor on his hand since he was very young, and
since birth. Since birth, and it's gotten worse, right? Has it grown?
Yeah.
Okay. So he had this tumor when he was born, and as he's gotten older, it's gotten really big on his hand. And I don't have a picture of it myself, but it's just this ugly big lump on his hand, and you can imagine how subconscious teenagers are in general about their looks. It is definitely an embarrassment for him. He would wear long sleeves to cover it up. And if you've been here, you know how hot it is here. But so he would suffer through that for the sake of honor and not being embarrassed by that. We had a small team of nurses come a few months ago and saw him, and through connections they had, were able to connect with a doctor in Cusco that he and his mom and Karina could travel to just this past week, that he could get that operated on. Because it's not something deadly, but it's something that's going to prevent him from succeeding in life as people look at him with that deformity. So when they've told his mom, the nurses visited the house with Karina and said that someone has offered to do this operation for free. We just had to figure out how to get them there, travel and food and all the logistics. But the operation itself would be free. She just couldn't believe, why would someone do this for my son? After all these years, and someone just came and is going to provide a new life for my son. So it's just a real blessing to be close to these miracles that are happening every day. And he should be returning in the next couple of days. As far as we heard, there were some complications with how close it was trying to get this out without damaging some of the nerves in his hand. But hopefully that's all recovering well, and he should be back soon.
So we have a young mom with epilepsy who couldn't feed her child, a malnourished child, the counsel of a grandmother that was to give this poison, it's DDT, for those of you who know what it is, to use that to treat the rash on the skin. You have a teenage boy with a tumor on his hand, a young girl who's going blind. And in each and every case, God, through the life of a child that our culture would say had no value because her brain was deformed, God is restoring honor in the Nazareths around the world through people who have no name other than his name. And his name is about restoring honor to those who have no honor. And it's a whole different honor than our world has to offer. It's an honor that is based on relationship with him. And so when Philip says to Nathanael, come and see, in those following verses, Nathanael encounters Jesus. And the first thing he encounters is that Jesus says to Nathanael, before Philip called you, in verse 48, Jesus says this, when you were under the tree, I saw you. So before Nathanael sees Jesus, Jesus saw Nathanael. And this seeing was so powerful. We don't know what was going on under the tree. Perhaps Nathanael was in some type of school where there was teaching happening. Perhaps it was a time of prayer where he was pouring his heart out to Yahweh. We don't know. But when Jesus said, I saw you under that tree, Nathanael's response was, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So literally, Nathanael goes from saying, can anything good come from Nazareth? To saying, you're the King of Israel. You're God's Son. And what changed? Jesus saw him. So it begins with this intimacy of being vulnerable before the Father and the Son. And there are a lot of ways that we try and hide from God. From the very beginning, because of sin, Adam and Eve were hiding from the Father. And we still try and hide from the Father. We try and hide from relationships with one another. We try and hide from being known to our spouses, to our children, to those we work with. We try and hide in different compartments in which we live. Even though we live in such a known community here, we can hear our neighbors, they can hear us. We have neighbors all around us. We have people coming and going. It's possible to hide. It's possible to put up walls. It's possible to pull away because of shame or because of fear or because of guilt. All of these things can cause us to want to hide. But when we come before Jesus, he says he sees us as we are, based on who we are. And when we're truly known by him, then we're ready to see him. And so Nathanael sees him and says, "You're king." And Jesus says, "Wow, because I saw you under the tree, you believe? You're going to see greater things than these," Jesus says. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So Nathanael's going to see heaven and earth come together. And I believe we've been seeing that in the testimonies of, I was thinking at Zion, that the nations are represented in the room that you're sitting right now. The nations are represented in the room that we're sitting in right now. And we also, through our relationships, are represented among the nations. And so that's how it is in God's kingdom, that we see heaven and earth coming together in the family that God's gathering, in the name that he's gathering us under. So we don't have to live a life of trying to preserve some sense of honor that we're projecting or some sense of image. We can't strive to attain this type of honor. This is the type of honor that God brings, but we do have to follow him first and then see if we're going to see this type of honor. Everything okay, Megan? Okay. So to just continue a little further in John, if you want to turn or just listen, in John chapter, let's go to John chapter 12. I think it's very interesting, and I'm going to key in a little bit on this word to see, and we're also going to see this understanding of honor connected to this, but this word to see is much more than just seeing with our eyes. It's to understand with our minds, to understand with our hearts, to know relationally, and to see also means to know it by experience and to care about what it is that we're seeing. So it's very interesting that Philip is going to show up again here later by name in the gospel. Remember, Philip is the one that said to Nathanael, "Come and see. You have this doubt about good things coming from Nazareth? Come and see." Well, Philip himself is going to have some questions about what he wants to see. Well, people are going to have some questions for Philip first. If we look in John chapter 12, verse 20, it says, "Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. Then these came to Philip." Isn't it interesting they're going to Philip? So Philip really seems to be connected to this concept of seeing Jesus in the Gospel of John. "They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and they began asking him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" So the one who already led Nathanael to see Jesus is now going to have the opportunity to lead some of the Greeks, some of the nations, to see Jesus. So Philip came and told Andrew in verse 22, and Andrew and Philip told Jesus. So we might expect, if they say to Jesus, "Jesus, there's some Greeks here who want to see you," that Jesus might say, "Oh, show them in," or, "Yeah, come in, I'd love to talk with them." Jesus' response is a little interesting to us because he doesn't really seem to acknowledge it, and yet he is acknowledging it. He's helping them see what it really means to see Jesus. "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." If we want to see Jesus, we need to understand that Jesus is the one who laid it all down for the sake of the Father. If we want to see Jesus, we must serve him. by letting go of our lives and taking up the life he has for us. And if we serve him in this way, through sacrifice, through surrender, then he will honor us. We will know honor. We will have a name if we will surrender and serve and sacrifice as Jesus himself was doing. Jesus was answering their question much more than what they expected. Philip, we want to see Jesus. Jesus, these people want to see you. If they want to see me, they must follow me and serve me and sacrifice their lives to follow me. And if they do this, they will have the honor that my Father will give them. It is remarkable to me what it means to see Jesus. If we look a little further in verse 20, okay, that was 23 to 26. If we go to 42, we're going to see that there were some rulers in contrast to these Greeks, or in contrast to the message that Jesus just gave. There were rulers among the Pharisees who did believe in him. But it says in 43 or in 42, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. That would have been dishonorable if they would have lost their place in the synagogue. So because they didn't want to let go of their honor, yes, they believed in Jesus in their hearts, but they wouldn't serve or surrender to him. And here's why. Verse 43, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. They loved honor among men rather than the honor that God would give them. If we're going to see Jesus, we have to be seeking an honor that only God can give. And we've all been honored this morning to hear the testimony of Tiffany and these children that Kristen has been talking about, to know Victoria, to have her be a part of our family at Zion, and now our heavenly family with the Lord. This is honor from God. May not be approved of by man, but it's honorable in the kingdom. And then we're not done yet with Philip. If we go to chapter 14, this is in the last, really the last teaching Jesus is going to give his disciples. And who's the one that kind of sparks this entire conversation? It's Philip. And Jesus has been saying throughout this context that if we see him, to see him, we see the Father. He says in another verse that I skipped over in John 12:45, Jesus said, he who sees me sees the one who sent me. That seems easy enough, right? If we see Jesus, we see the Father. Well, Philip had a hard time with this. We go to chapter 14, verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, Jesus said. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does these works. So Jesus is saying to Philip, Philip, you have seen the Father because you know me. Philip had slipped into this fleshly understanding of, well, just let us see the Father. But Jesus takes him back to this relational understanding of, if you're with me, you've seen the Father. To see Jesus is not what we see with our eyes. It's what we see with our hearts. It's what we see through the Spirit. It's what we see of the Father through him. And now that we're one with the Father, it's what we see of Jesus and the Father when we look around the room that you're sitting in right now, and we see Jesus and the Father at work in the lives of everyone that's a part of our family. And now listen to what is said by Jesus if we understand this, if we understand that to be in relationship with him is to be in relationship with the Father, Jesus says in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe the because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. A lot of times we apply that with the idea that, okay, I need to say in Jesus' name while praying. And then we say, if we grow from that understanding, we might say, okay, we just need to pray in accordance with who Jesus is in his name. And that's very, it's all very true. But to really pray in the name of Jesus is to pray according to what honors him. I think the prayers that God answers are the prayers that ultimately honor Jesus and honor the Father. So if I'm asking for something according to the honor of Jesus, that's a whole different ballgame than asking according to my own honor. But even in the church and even in Christian circles and even in North American Christian circles or Latin American Christian circles, it's very easy to pray Christian prayers for the sake of our own honor, for the sake of our own reputation, for the sake of our own perceived sense of importance or greatness. But the reality is it's the prayers that honor Jesus, what's on his heart, that he answers. These are the things that he is doing. So when we ask for anything to honor him, he will do it. Whatever you ask in his honor, that he will do, so that the Father may also be glorified. So when we think of praying in Jesus' name, think of praying to honor him. Think of asking him things for his honor. And that will be an important way to make sure we're not praying for the sake of our own honor. And what honors him? When we completely surrender our lives to him. When we die to ourselves and stop trying to preserve and save our own lives. And when we honor him, we're going to pay attention to the people who come from different lands, to the people who come from no-name places, because those are places on which Jesus has bestowed great honor, and people upon whom he has bestowed great honor, just like his own mother and father from a no-name town like Nazareth. So finally, when we go, now, so this began, Jesus began to respond to Philip with his question, show us the Father. He responds here, but it doesn't end there. If you turn your Bibles, it goes through chapter 15, it goes through chapter 16, and as we get now to the end of this teaching, this is all in a response and a conversation that Jesus is having with Philip and his disciples. In chapter 16, Jesus says to them, a little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Some of his disciples then said to one another, what is this thing he is telling us? A little while we'll not see him, and then again we'll see him? So they were saying in verse 18, what is this that he says, a little while? Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, so they're confused about what Jesus means about seeing him or not seeing him. And he says in verse 20, truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy. He says in verse 22, therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. So in this world, in the time that we live in, which in verse 21, it describes it like a time of birth pains, there's a lot of pain going on in the world, all over the world. And for this reason, we grieve. But our grief will turn to joy. Now, our grief turns to joy not because Marcelino has hand surgery, not because Tiffany can go to medical school, not because Selene can keep her vision, and not because that little baby is becoming more healthy. Our grief is turned to joy because Jesus sees us. And because he sees us, we see that he sees their lives as well. And we see Jesus caring for these little ones as him seeing us. And then when he sees us, we can see him. And Jesus again says the same thing in verse 23. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. A lot of times, we think that if God's not answering our prayers, it's because we don't have enough faith. It might be because we're not praying and participating in ways that truly honor him. He might be withholding an answer until our hearts change, that we're asking for something based on his honor and not our own. And the faith in view might be that we have the faith to truly lay our lives down and honor him. Jesus says in 24, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. Isn't it interesting that up to this point, the disciples evidently hadn't asked for anything in his name? And it kind of makes sense because they kept having debates about greatness among themselves. They were very close to Jesus. They were very excited about his message. But maybe they were more inclined to think about what it meant for their own lives instead of what it meant for his honor. So he's now saying, hey, now you can begin to ask for things in my name according to my honor. In 26, in that day you will ask in my name or my honor, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. Now, finally, his disciples get it. His disciples said, lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Jesus said to them, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. And so now Jesus goes into his prayer to pray for them. And this is, I just want to close with these thoughts as an exhortation to you about this way of honor that we've been talking about and seeing through Philip's life. It involves seeing Jesus because he sees us. It's that intimacy with him through being his. It does not involve hiding from him. And we hide from him in a lot of ways, through our shame, through our striving. By hiding from relationships, these are the things that keep us from seeing Jesus and understanding how he sees us. These are the things that cut away from our intimacy with him and with one another. It involves seeing him, which is to surrender and sacrifice and serve. Our doing is characterized by all-out surrender, by sacrifice and service. But the thing that in our flesh fights against this is we want to save our lives. We want to preserve our lives. We want to live it on our terms, within our own comforts, within our own control. When we think of comfort, think control. It transcends culture. Every human being seeks to have control. And yet to truly see Jesus is to surrender our control and to sacrifice ourselves into his hands. To see him is to see the Father. And to see him is to pray in his name and for his honor, not in our own honor. And yes, as Jesus told them, as soon as they finally got it, he said, okay, now the suffering begins. But remember, he had already told them that their sorrow would be turned to joy because he would see them again. And he will keep seeing his people, which will allow us to keep seeing him. So I ask you, what are you seeing? I ask myself, what am I seeing? Am I seeing the Father? If I'm not seeing him, what am I not surrendering? How am I not surrendered? How am I striving? How am I hiding? And how can I let those things go that I might see him again? Isn't it interesting that when we see things that we should not see, those things are dishonorable. But when we see things that we should see, there's honor. And so you, all of you, help us through your prayers and love to see the Father in this place. These testimonies that we're sharing are simply testimonies of seeing the Father. These are not testimonies of anyone else other than our Father and his Son. And so we can rejoice together when we see the Father. We still see a lot of suffering, as do you. And the world is full of it. But in the midst of the suffering, we must not pull back and hide. We must continue to say, like the Greeks did to Jesus, to Philip, we wish to see Jesus. And Jesus says, if you want to see me, lay your life down and follow me. And we'll see him because he'll be seeing us. So I'm really encouraged that you're there just by being present with one another. We allow ourselves to see the Lord together. By this provision of technology, we've been able to see the Father together through many, many miles of separation. But seeing the Father is something that is a gift that will leave us undone and leave us without control. So if we're feeling in control, if we're feeling like we're managing our lives, then we might not be seeing the Father in the ways that we are designed to see the Father. If we're feeling like we can't go through another day unless the Father leads us and the Holy Spirit shows us what to do, then we're probably seeing the Father, because that's the type of life he leads us in, of depending on him and following him and seeking him in all ways. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our family here at Zion. Thank you for the eyes that you've given us to see you together and to see one another. I pray for marriages in this family. I pray for friendships. I pray for parent-child relationships, generational relationships between grandparents and grandchildren and children. I pray for work relationships. I pray for all the different relationships that we have all over the world. Relationships that can help us see you and be seen by you, or relationships from which we can hide and try and preserve our own sense of honor. Lord, I pray that our choices, our works, our obedience will truly be carried out to bring honor to you. And I pray that our prayers will truly be focused on praying in your honor, in honor of your name. Please, Lord, protect this truth. Protect this revelation in our lives. Let it not be stolen. May we see it planted and may it continue to bear fruit. And God, may you continue to bring honor where there is no honor. And may we have the eyes to see it and be a part of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for that message. It's very spot on with what we were talking about this morning in Sunday school. In Sunday school, we were talking, there was a thought thrown out there which I really liked. We were talking about the difference of life by the law and life by the Spirit. And the analogy was given by Abigail McElhaney. Where under the law, many people kind of treated it as like a doing your taxes sort of thing, where your guilt was assuaged and taken care of by going to the temple and giving an offering of sacrifice. And Jesus came and he said, you know, I didn't do away with all that stuff. I came, you've heard it said this, I say this. And Abigail made the point that instead of us giving up a perfect spotless lamb to make to pay taxes, in other words, Jesus called for all of us, complete surrender, a complete, basically, instead of saying, oh, I'll give you some of my income, we give Jesus all of us, all of our income, so to speak. All of our worth goes to him. And, you know, I think that that's kind of very much in line with what Mark was saying here. This is something, this honoring this praying, you know, all of the things that were woven together in this message, it all comes down to truly and fully giving our lives and not in a selfish, proud way, needing honor due to us in any way. And that, my friends, I do believe is how the kingdom of heaven will advance as we are his image bearers on this earth. As Paul wrote about in Colossians, about Jesus being the image of the Father, the firstborn of all creation, and then also calling him the firstborn from the dead. He is the first of our kind, so to speak, and we are due to follow in his steps, and that's just an exciting thing. And in that, we honor him when we pray, when we do acts of service, when we love people, and when we love God. So with that said, I'll just close with a prayer here real quick, and we'll go about our week. God, thank you so much for who you are. The greatness of who you are and the way that you honor us by seeing us, and then we honor you by giving our lives, by laying down any need for our pride, any need for recognition, but truly coming alongside your work and honoring you with what we desire, honoring you with what we do, honoring you with how we love and what we love. And so, God, I pray that you'd be with every person in this room and everyone in Peru in this coming week, that we would be able to walk out our faith with fear and trembling, thinking through what we do, thinking through what we ask for, to honor you and to honor those around us. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Definitely.